Welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another efflorescent episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with choreographer Stacy Flaster. Also, Tom Williams brings us another audio review. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So, sit back, relax, and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another episode of Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of October 9th, 2006. This October 29th will be marking the second annual Wicked Day here in Chicago. Fans from throughout Oz are invited to come to the musical phenomenon with a spell of events here at Chicago's Daily Plaza. Wicked Day is the culmination of a month-long celebration, also known as Wicked Month. It all begins on October 13th with a Wicked Tent at the Haunted Village at Pumpkin Plaza. For you foreigners out there, that's Washington and Dearborn Streets. Warm up your vocal cords on October 22nd, the Be Wicked Singing Contest kicks into gear. The preliminary rounds will start on that Sunday, October 22nd, with the finals being performed on Wicked Day. Wicked Month will also be bringing us the State Street Halloween Happening Parade. That will be on Saturday, October 21st, right out in front of the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, where Wicked is currently showing. If you love Wicked, then you definitely love this month. Don't miss Wicked Day, October 29th. So go out and participate in all you Wicked can. Menopause the Musical, the Chicago hit which has had an open run at the Apollo Theater, has announced that they will be closing on November 19th. Menopause the Musical is the highest-grossing show in the Apollo Theater's 28-year history, and it is the theater's second-longest-running show as well. As of close time, the production will have run for 175 weeks, seeing 250,000 audience members in over 1,200 performances. The Chicago sit-down production opened back in July of 2003, and as I mentioned earlier, comes to a close on November 19th. So get out there, get your tickets, and do not miss it. Well, Broadway in Chicago has announced their 2007 season. The Broadway in Chicago season kicks off in March at the LaSalle Bank Theater with Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. That will be starring Kathleen Turner and Bill Irwin, two of my favorite actors. I'm definitely not missing that one. After that, in May, will be Lerner and Lowe's Camelot. And that will be starring film legend Michael York as King Arthur. After that, coming in July, will be The Light in the Piazza, the 2005 Tony Award-winning play starring Craig Lucas. In August, the Auditorium Theater will be showing Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. And in October of next year, LaSalle Bank Theater will be showing the 2006 Tony Award-winning Jersey Boys. The season tickets will be going on sale on Sunday, October 29th, so make sure you get in line early. Well, the Bailiwick Arts Center has announced their biggest production in their history, and it will be Jerry Springer, the Opera. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me, Jerry Springer, the Opera. which incidentally was a hit on London's West End. Well, now it's skipping over Broadway and coming straight to Chicago. The Bailiwick Arts Center will be the first U.S. theater to show Jerry Springer the opera, as they hope to attract a new, larger audience base. That'll be coming next spring to the Bailiwick. Jerry Springer the opera. Don't miss it. And on a more solemn note, we here at Talk Theater in Chicago would like to express our deepest and saddest condolences to the family of Gene Janssen, who passed away last Wednesday while performing on the stage. We were given the honor of interviewing Gene shortly before he passed away. When we asked him what the future held for him, here's what he had to say.
Oh, I have no idea. I never have. In all these 50 years, I have never known from one week to the next, really. The future, the immediate future, is that I will be running in this play through November 5th. But you know what? At this stage of my career, frankly, this, and I'm not saying this to by any means to give the wrong impression to the young people, but at this point, I'm not really pounding the pavement or knocking on doors. In some areas, the people know me and they call and ask me if I would do a thing or that. But I take it as it comes.
So we here at Talk Theater in Chicago would like to thank you, Gene Janssen, for 50 years in Chicago theater. And he was doing what he loved all the way up until the end. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's review podcast. Here's my review of The Dark at the Top of the Stairs. The Dark at the Top of the Stairs by William Ng, directed by Damon Kiley at American Theater Company in Chicago. Ng classic shines in a flawless ATC production. American Theater Company's The Dark at the Top of the Stairs is a gem of a play. Filled with Ng's autobiographical coming to terms with his suffocating love of his mother and his obsession with photos of film stars, this touching play is about the subtle struggle of ordinary people trying to live the good life. Featuring a marvelous set designed by Tom Birch, complete with a long staircase, the ATC show delivers. Cora Flood, played by Cheryl Grafe, in a moving, nuanced performance, is the strong, controlling mother who tries to tame her restless traveling salesman husband while she arranges a social life for her wallflower teen daughter, Renee, played by Kelly O'Sullivan. Her precocious 10-year-old boy, Sonny, the delightfully engaging Edward Heffernan, loves photos of film stars, reciting speeches, and is too close to his mother for his own good. When Cora has a fight with her stifled husband, Reuben, played by Tim Decker, all the macho cowboy, the fight ends with Reuben slapping Cora. She wants to move to Oklahoma City to live with her older sister, Lottie, played by Dawn Batch, in a humorous, neurotic turn. Her passive husband, Morris, adds a lot to the show. But Lottie really doesn't want Cora and her children on a permanent basis. When Renee is forced to attend the dance with a Jewish boy, Sammy, played by Jurgen Hooper, at his charming best, her friend, Flit Conroy, played by Sarah Sanchez, arrive at the Flood house all full of teenage energy. These scenes are precious in telling. The repressed passion and the low self-esteem of Renee and Sonny stand out. With much anti-Semitic comments, the ignorance of these folks in Oklahoma City also stands out. This would be the time frame would be in the early 1920s. Jurgen Hooper is terrific as the much too charming teen. Below the surface, you know that something is bothering him. He's just too smooth for his own good. Sarti Sanchez and Dawn Bash shine in these middle scenes. There's some very, very funny, poignant parts here. However, the play belongs to the strong, steady, and measured performance of Cheryl Grafe as the matriarchal head of the family. Young Edward Heffernan steals many scenes with his smart acting, deft comic turns, together with his realistic display of emotion and a fabulous performance, especially in a demanding role as Sonny. This youngster, who I believe is 13 years old, even though he looks younger, has talent and appears to be having fun on stage. It's good to hear. This brilliant play smoothly engages us from the start and never lets up. We care about Cora, Rennie, and Sonny, and we quietly cheer for them to come out of their shell. We also hope that Cora does the right thing with her marriage and with her family. Can she save herself, her children, and her marriage? Ing's resolution works. This is among the finest shows of the season. Let me add that I think it's also some very smart, tight directing by Damon Kiley. I think it's one of his best efforts. ATC delivers. My rating for the show, highly recommended. It is Dark at the Top of the Stairs, again by William Ing, directed by Damon Kiley, at American Theater Company, which is at 1909 West Byron in Chicago. For more information, call 773-929-1031. That's 773-929-1031. Thank you for listening, and remember, go see a play this week.
Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is Stacy Flaster, who is the hot choreographer in town today. This young lady has been very busy this year. She did one of the best versions of Oklahoma from a choreographer standpoint that I have seen in years. Hello, Stacy.
Hi.
Well, let me ask you this. You've been very busy. Tell us about some of the shows you've been choreographing this year, because just about every time I pick up a press release or a program, I see your name in it.
Thank you so much. You know, I've been working back-to-back this whole year, more than I've worked as an actor the year before that. I have been working mostly, primarily at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana, where Bill Palenzi is the artistic director. I used to work with him as an actor, and he's the best. He's a great guy. And pretty much hired me to do the whole season there. So I started off this, this season I did Sound of Music, I did Baby, which wasn't much choreography, more of a play with music, I guess you could say. I did Oklahoma, as you mentioned. And then I just did Patent Leather Shoes, and then Oklahoma in a row. So,
well, and Joseph. Wow, Joseph. Wow, that's amazing. And Bill's got to be a terrific guy to work with, because I mean, he's been around so long. He has a touch for doing classical musicals.
Yeah, he does. He loves musicals. You know. It's incredible how much information that he has in his head over the years, how many different people he's worked with, how many times he's done each show, and he does respect what was originally done and really likes to stick to it. So, and I like that too.
Okay, so that you, in your view of choreographing the shows, you want to keep as much to the original intent of the choreographer from the original productions of a show, let's say like Oklahoma or Joseph?
Yeah, well, with Oklahoma, nobody can really beat Agnes DeMille's choreography. But And again, I didn't want to do exactly what she did because that wouldn't be very creative. But I wanted to use elements of her and her choreography and then combine them with mine. I really spent a ton of time listening to that music, even though I've done the show and choreographed it twice. Just really thinking about a new way to present it, but that had the old flair still, so that it didn't seem, it seemed fresh, but yet not a copy and not something completely out of the blue, because I don't think people want to see something that different.
No, I agree, and I think you achieved it. Because it did remind me of something fresh with a lot of energy, particularly the Kansas City number, some of the early stuff. But when you got into the dream sequence stuff, it was fabulous.
Thank you. I used a dancer that I've worked with before, who was fabulous, and we worked together on what lifts they felt comfortable doing. But I really wanted it to be, the movie choreography is brilliant. I couldn't do those lifts. They probably ran them 100 times in front of the camera. I couldn't do those exact lifts, but I did lifts that were similar to that, that worked with these two people that were dramatic, and that, used the music, and I made no cuts in the music either, because I love it. I love the ballet, and I just don't see any reason to cut it.
Yeah, and some productions cut that, and a lot of people don't realize that was one of the first musicals on Broadway, mainstream musicals, to use a ballet routine, which is one of the reasons it's a landmark show. So why would you cut that?
Yeah, well, and also it furthers the plot,
Oh, yes.
Sort of, foreshadowing the second act, and I had great dancers, and they just really committed to it, and I taught that whole ballet in 2 days.
Did you really?
2 days.
Very good.
So that was really, really excellent. And then for Joseph, really, I did a fabulous production at the Marriott with Kenny Ingram directing it and choreographing, and I don't know if you saw that years ago in 1999.
No, I didn't. That's one I missed.
That's what turned me on with Joseph, because seeing the audience's response every night was worth doing it, 150 times.
It is amazing how much the audience responds to that show.
They love it.
Yeah they sure do.
They love feeling good, and they love walking out of there feeling smiling, and they can't figure out why they're smiling. They just had a good time,
Well, that's a legitimate role for musical theater.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I talked to Bill earlier in the year, and when he was deciding on the season, I said, Joseph really is a cash cow. Every time I've done it, it's just been a huge success. And so he agreed, and then the theater is very happy. And choreographically with that, all the numbers are the styles are so different, and I just really sat down with each number and tried to be more creative with it, because I've seen it and done it so many times, and I wanted to do something fresh.
Well, you certainly did. It was very fresh, yeah.
Thank you.
And it had an energy to it. The cast was so into it. They were just having such a good time. They were just so happy to do it.
And it really makes me. I went to see the show the other night, and it's become like a well-oiled machine. But they don't look like they're going through, phoning it in. They're really just, they know it, and it's tight and clean, and it just, the transitions are great, and they look like they're having fun, genuinely having a great time, every single person.
That's got to make you feel good.
I'm pregnant. It was my first baby. That was my first baby, and now I'll be having my second.
Well.
Just fabulous.
I mean, I've been with directors and choreographers when they go back and see their show after the actors have sort of reinterpreted, say.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, they get a little crazy. So it's fun to go there and see that they've actually made it better. They've tightened it.
And they're having fun because they're seeing the audience's response, and it just keeps, feeding on each other. And the audiences are getting bigger and bigger. I heard they had their best Saturday night. They had 400 people last night, and they're really selling out Sunday.
And that's at Theater at the Center in Munster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana. And so I'm very proud of that. That was really exciting.
Well, tell us about Madam X. a show that I have not done a review of yet, but I'll tell you, it was stunning. It was really strong.
I'm so happy you liked it. It was definitely a long process. I mean, I wasn't involved in any of the past readings or anything, but I got involved in this production because Harry Campagna, who directed and music directed the show, was a friend of mine who I worked with at Stevenson High School for about 5 or 6 years doing musicals.
I thought that name was familiar.
Yeah, Stevenson High School. He worked there for years. He's a brilliant musical director. He's fabulous. And he called me and said he was directing the show and that he wasn't going to be at Stevenson, and we would love to use either me or my mom as the choreographer, and those were the only two choices he had.
Keep it in the family, huh?
I thought that was cute. So I said, well, I'm available. And
oh, so you just aced your mother out, huh?
Exactly.
Well, the young, be young and aggressive.
Yeah, well, I'm having a baby, so I needed the money more. I'm just kidding. But and that was really fun to work with. It was fun to work with him. It was different because, having not seen or heard any of the music, I had to really come up with, choreography that I felt furthered the plot.
Yeah, because this is more of a musical drama, almost an operetta. Not quite, but it's close to an operetta.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's sort of Jekyll and Hyde, like sort of Les Mis, like sort of.
Yes, it was.
Has those qualities of
very heavy dramatic show. Yes.
Very heavy, yeah. And I, with a couple of the numbers, especially in the second act, the tango. I don't know if you remember the letter
yes.
from LaRocque.
Right.
And the Confidential Missions that has the two villain characters. I felt that those three characters, although LaRocque was killed. Hope I'm not giving away the plot to anybody, but they've seen the movie, they know. I wanted to make their numbers comic relief. So,
yeah, it was very vaudeville. Vaudeville.
That's what I tried to do.
Yeah, and it was cute. I thought it worked.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just wanted to add a little level of that. Because, Les Mis has the Madame Thénardier, the couple that, the sort of the comic duo.
Right.
And I just felt like, I felt like it needed a little bit of, black comedy. Comic relief there. So,
well, it was also creative, and you wanted to change the mood slightly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that and the tango number, I thought, was terrific. It was quite sensual, and it was visually beautifully done.
Thank you so much. I thought the lighting really, in that small space, I thought the lighting was really good. In terms of trying to, light small areas and then not light other areas. Very hard to do in a small state.
Yes.
They did a great job of making it real dark in there and real moody. And so I enjoy working with new music and with, shows that no one's ever done before. It's hard because you don't have anything to look at to give you inspiration, but also kind of exciting to,
You put your stamp on a world premiere of a show that I think, and I had a lady with me who's a real, she's been a producer and an investor in shows, and she's really hip on big-time musicals, and she said, boy, this show is going to go somewhere.
I hope so.
Yeah.
This guy that wrote it, Paul Bruce, who's the composer and the writer, one of the writers, he's such a nice guy, and he really has put his whole, soul, basically, into this, and believes in it, and I hope that it keeps running. I really do. I hope that, we can just, people are going to have to leave the show because they have other commitments show-wise. A lot of these people are moving. They're moving. They're going to be up pretty soon,
Yeah, it's amazing how good the voices were when the entirely non-equity cast, which is very rare. That usually, boy, you wonder, you say, oh, boy,
Yeah, no, I know. I totally agree with you. It has a stigma sometimes. A non-equity show. People have, I was non-equity once, too,
Well, it doesn't mean you don't have talent. It's just that...
Of course not.
You could never afford to put a show like that on in that space if you had 10 or 12 equity actors.
There's no way. What I was going to say about the stigma is that it is a stigma, and people just need to, get over the stigma and go and... because these people are on the cusp of, being equity, and they'll be working. These actors will work a ton, all of them.
And sometimes there are actors that have such a good day job that they don't really need the benefits and all that, and they could get better roles.
Exactly, and there are a few of them that are probably not going to want to go that route. But I know that at least, you know, half of them are really trying to do this for a profession, and they'll be fine, you know. They'll be fine. It's amazing. I do think, although everybody has, the voices are great, Harry is very responsible for making them sound so fabulous.
Yeah, the arrangements. Yeah, the arrangements, the harmonies were terrific. The whole musical arrangement. Yeah, it's just very beautiful. Tell you, it reminds me a lot of Les Mis. That's great company to be in.
I don't mind that. My dad's favorite show. You know, I gave my dad the CD for the concept CD
okay.
from Madame X about 6 months ago when they hired me. And he's been listening to it in his car for 6 months. So he memorized the show before he even came to see it. So, you know, if people that like Les Mis and, you know, all these, you know, all those shows.
The serious, dramatic musicals, yes.
Yeah, serious, dark, dramatic. They'll love this show.
And it's such a great story. I mean, the book is tremendous.
Yeah, it is a great story. You know, my mom said that when one time she came home from this grocery store and my dad was sitting in front of the TV watching the movie Madame X from the 60s, and he was crying.
Well, I've never seen the movie, so I've got to go and get the DVD of it.
It's different, you know. I didn't see it. I didn't watch it. I didn't want to see anything about it. I just wanted to do this production. I now will see it. It's supposed to be a great movie with Lana Turner.
Yes.
Very different. This is, you know, it's not set turn in the century. It's set in the 60s. So it's
a, oh, it's set in the 60s, the film.
Yes.
Well, I think the turn of the century worked because, first of all, the visuals, the women's dresses and the men's costumes, I think added a flair to it.
And it really, you know, that period, that turn of the century feeling is really what that's how the original story was set. And I think that feeling really helps create the mood of the show. I don't think if we did it contemporary, it would have worked as well.
No, I agree.
Original, you know.
That's part of the image of a musical is the look of it.
Yes,
and the costume.
Absolutely.
That's a very valid part, and I'll tell you, this is a first class production. You should be proud of it.
I'm very proud of it. And you mentioned the costume. Janice Pytel did the costume, and I've worked with her before in other shows.
Oh yeah, she's been around. She's very good. Yeah.
Oh, she's fabulous. I mean, she does everything. You know, from contemporary to turn of the century to anything, and everything she's ever done, I've loved. So I want to work with her more.
Well, that's great. Well, let me mention a couple other shows. I know you've got a Good Man Charlie Brown coming up.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't usually see children's shows, but when I saw your name on it and I saw Roberta Duchek on it, I said, and the cast, I said, well, I got to go see this thing. So I'll have to get up in the morning, get down there for 10 o'clock. But I heard it's very good.
It is very good. It's an hour-long version of your Good Man Charlie Brown, so we cut it down a little bit. And we did it at the Marriott, and people from Drury Lane Oakbrook came to see it, and they loved it, and so they said, let's move this to the Water Tower. So we're going to do it in the mornings, and then Spelling Bee will happen at night, like it usually does. It's a fabulous show. It is for kids and adults. You know, there's some adult scenes, you know, in it, but those themes are not... It will go over the kids' heads. The kids will get what they get, and the adults will get what they get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's kind of the Mark Robin philosophy of doing the children's shows. And I know you've done a number of them with Mark.
Yes, I have. I've done a ton of my, and I also direct. I'm doing my third production of Mark's at the theater where my mom is the artistic director in Winnetka Theater. And this will be my third year. This is our third Mark Robin show, and the audience is.
Which one of Mark's shows are you doing here?
We're doing Cinderella this year.
Okay.
So.
Well, let's go back to some of your other work.
Sure.
Carnival. One of the best productions of that show. I said, and I think Henny Weiss said, they ought to just take the show downtown and put it in the Palace, and it would run for 6 months.
I wish they could have. That was a show that, first of all, I loved working with Michael Ehrman, the director. He was fabulous. We collaborated, and we got along great. And doing that with the full orchestra was so satisfying, and I loved choreographing that. Another show where I really was not familiar with it when I went into it, and I really made up my own stories in these numbers, choreographed.
Oh, is that right? It was totally weird because, you know, it's so rarely done. I think I saw the movie version of it.
Yes, you did. Yeah. I'm sure you did.
Yeah, but I don't remember seeing it on stage. And, you know, a lot of people that have been around longer than I have said, boy, they don't remember it on stage. So you totally reinvented it then, huh?
I reinvented. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe somebody's done what I did. But me and Michael sat together and, you know, talked about a sword and a rose and a cape. I don't know if you remember that number in the
podcast. Right, yes.
Just kind of coming up with a fun story because there was a big dance break in there with all this music that was saying something, and we wanted to figure out what that music was saying. You know, so we just created this little story with all the guys, and it was just great. I loved it. And I got to tell you, Rod Thomas, who played Paul, the lead, I don't think there's a guy in town who could have played it that way. Didn't you love him?
Yes. Yeah, he is such an underrated, I think he's a star. I really do.
He's a huge star. Yeah. And I remember I was doing Beauty and the Beast with him. I was in it at Marriott. And I found out I was going to be choreographing this. And me, Rudy Hogan Miller, and Jim Harms all thought, Rod Thomas, and of course, you know, he got the part. It was just a fabulous production to work on. I loved the cast, and a lot of non-equity people in that cast, and fabulous voices. It was a wonderful.
I think it's one of the best things that Light Opera has done over in the last 10 years.
I agree. I loved it. I mean, I thought it was dramatically and. The music and the cast and it was a fabulous.
Well, the staging, the whole staging, the visual look of it was fabulous. Like I said, it could have gone downtown and it'd been part of Broadway in Chicago. They probably would still be running.
I wish.
Well, that's
Rudy.
That's a start. That's a start. Well, I don't get involved in that, but I can wish.
No, I'm just kidding.
And then it was Spitfire Grill you did for Tim Gregory. That was a terrific production.
Thank you. That was, there's an example of, you know, a play with some movement. You know, really just movement to help further the plot. And, you know, there was sort of an Irish sort of jiggy feeling to some of the music.
Yeah, and a country feel, too, yeah.
Country, Irish feel. And, you know, it just needed a little bit of just a little flair is really all it needs.
Well, let me ask you how, I know that's a major difference, but how does a choreographer who can do these elaborate big dance numbers and knows how to, you know, personally dance them and can choreograph them, how hard is it to just do little movements in shows like Spitfire Grill or even in Madame X, other than the one number, there's a certain movements. Tell
great,
us about that
great
process.
Question.
Yeah.
And my answer to that question is, I always approach any choreographic project from an actor's perspective. And what I do is I feel that I very, very strongly that movement needs to match what the whole play is about. It can't be over-choreographed, you know, in a show like Spitfire Grill, you can't do high kicks, you can't do, you know, it wouldn't work. As an actor and dancer, I approach whatever I'm doing from that standpoint. Well, I always talk to the director first and find out what they want. I really try to find out what's going on in the acting and then just further it in that way. You know, obviously I totally approach Oklahoma differently, but I still approach it from an acting standpoint because the movement needs to make sense. It needs to come out of an emotion. It can't just be movement for movement's sake. It can't just be.
Yeah, that would that kind of makes it a review, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to do just pretty. I want to do something that makes people feel something. It's just like when you're singing a song and you have to add dynamics. You have to add, you know, emotion. It can't just be, you know, something pretty to listen to, or else nobody's going to be moved by that, you know? So I want to move people, and so I try to see what's going on in the scene, and then just heighten it. It's basically what I do, and I love doing things with just actors that don't even dance. I love doing because it's exciting. you know, it wasn't, like you said, Madam X is not a dance show. And so, although the people move very well, they're not dancers. But they really, you know, what I did with these two guys in Confidential Missions, which is that vaudeville type number, it was more dancey and more, it had more steps in it than the first time I taught it. And as I watched them do it, I eliminated steps as we went along because it wasn't helping. It wasn't heightening the song. I wanted to make sure people understood the lyrics. So I really, you know, I kept some of the steps in, but I really tried to work with what the lyrics were and you know, highlight these guys the best I can. Make everybody look good.
Well, I think you certainly succeeded. And even some of the little, some of the other movement and the little waltzing group movements. Did you do a lot of that with the staging where they would come together in these different clusters?
Yes, I did.
Okay. That worked very well. It not only enhanced the voices, but it at the right time you dramatized what the words of the song, you know, so you helped sell the meaning. And I guess that's what choreography is really about, if you're really a pro at it, as you are.
Thank you so much. You know, like you're saying, I wanted to give the ensemble a point of view and a feeling, so that every time they came on, you knew that they were either commenting on what was going on in the situation, or they were heightening what was going on in the situation, or they were putting their focus, you know, showing us where to look sometimes also, and giving them a meaning to be on stage. And so I tried to give them a gossipy kind of quality in pretty much everything they were
doing. Well, it worked with the music and the singing style, too. It all meshed together. That's why I think this show is so tight. I think you should all be very proud of this show.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's go back into your background. I think our listeners are getting an idea that of your philosophy of choreographing. So tell us, you know, your background and how you got to where you are today.
My background. Okay, so I started off as a ballet, you know, bunhead, I like to say. I took ballet as a kid. Every day after school, my mom would drive me downtown. You know, I did the Nutcracker. I did all that dance stuff. And then I got to high school and I realized I wanted to be in musicals because I loved. I just loved. I saw 42nd Street as a kid, and I fell in love with the musical. And
that's a good one to do it. 42nd Street will do it.
Oh, I'll never forget that. It was the most exciting day of my life watching that show when the curtain came up and those feet were moving. I loved it. So I went into dance at University of Illinois. I went into school as a dance major, but I always thought I would transfer out and, you know, do more of a musical theater thing, but they didn't have a musical theater program there. So what I did was I stayed in the dance department all 4 years so that I could really stay in shape and learn. You know, I never really gained the freshman 15 because I was a dance major. And I just did musicals that were on, you know, sort of at the community theaters out there and the little theaters surrounding Champaign-Urbana, and I just kind of did that on the side. I worked, studied with an opera singer, opera teacher in the opera department for voice, and I took some acting classes. And I graduated and just, I don't know, I fell into this, I did my first professional show, West Side Story, at Fez and Run. And then it just sort of, and I never decided to do this for a living. It just sort of happened, and I just sort of started getting cast. And, you know, kind of worked my way up. I worked at Candlelight for a couple of years. I worked at Drury Lynn Oakbrook. I worked at Marriott. I did the national tour of Showboat and just sort of kept snowballing. And all along, I was always choreographing concert dance pieces in high school and musicals in high school. And one day, I decided I wanted to choreograph a musical. And I walked into, I don't know if you know David Perkovich.
Sure.
But I, you know, I walked into his gallery on Michigan Avenue. I said, you know, I hear you're directing a show at Theater at the Center. I would love to be your choreographer. And so he said, oh, well, I'll talk to Bill. And I walked in. I was still auditioning as an actor, and I walked into my Theater at the Center audition. And he said, I hear you want to choreograph. You got the job.
Wow.
You know, that's exactly how it started. And
so they just saw that you were a dancer. They know you're really into it. So you actually got... You didn't even have to audition.
No. No, I didn't have to do anything. I just knew David. I knew Bill, sort of. I didn't really know Bill yet. I only worked with him as an actor. I really knew David well because I worked. He directed three or four shows I've done. And I was becoming friendly with everybody because I've been around for now 13 years. And then Rudy Hogan-Miller, you know, working under him in Chorus Line. I did Chorus Line for him and became friends with him. And then he called me for Carnival. And then I just kept getting, Bill just said, you want the whole season? And all of a sudden, I'm the resident choreographer at Theater at the Center. And so I thought, well, now's as good a time as any to get pregnant. it just kind of naturally happened that I became the professional choreographer, but I'm loving doing this. I feel like I'm finally relaxed.
You haven't retired from being a performer, though, have you?
No, I haven't. I definitely don't want to. I mean, I lost my health insurance through Equity because I'm not working anymore as an actor. So that was kind of sad. But someday I will always keep my Equity card and, you know, keep paying up dues because I just always want to be in the union. But I think I probably will go back to it at some point.
How about directing?
I would love to direct. Right now I'm liking being the choreographer because I'm not ready to give up being the choreographer yet. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I still love to do that and work with directors. But sure, I would love to direct. Someday.
Oh, I'm sure that'll happen.
Thank you.
It seems like the people that have the kind of talent you have, I mean, as a musical, sometimes being a choreographer, I know it served Mark Robin rather well, that it's almost naturally that you could become a director, and if you, especially big dance shows, I'd almost rather have if I was a producer, give me a choreographer to direct a big dance show versus just a director.
I love that. And, you know, you mentioned Mark, and Mark is one of my, you know, one of the people I really look up to. You know, watching him work all these years and being in his shows and being his dance captain, and I was his assistant on a show once. I assisted him with Cats in Indianapolis, and working with him and his organization and his dedication and his passion, everything. I've really tried to model myself.
Well, everyone tells me he's the most organized guy you'd ever run across.
It's unbelievable that he has enough time in the day to do so many things. It's unbelievable, but he doesn't. You know, so I look up to him. He's somebody that I really respect.
Well, a lot of people around town are saying that you're inheriting, since Mark's been going national, doing shows nationally, that you know, you moved in to fill in the void, and everyone's saying, well, you know, things haven't gone down at all.
Thank
you know,
you.
That Stacy has filled in the gap. I mean, I've heard that from several people, and I've noticed it, too. And I go, yeah, she sure has.
Thank you. I would never want to take anything away from him or replace him in any way, but I, you know, if it's helping him go do a million other things, that's fabulous, you know, because he's really getting his name out, you know, all over the place. So, I, you know, hopefully someday he'll be doing, you know, he'll be directing and choreographing on Broadway. Maybe I can...
Yeah, Mark's a Tony Award away from getting the right vehicle.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping someday he can direct a show and I can choreograph it with him.
that would be fun, wouldn't it?
I would love to work with him in that way. But thank you for saying that. That's very nice.
Well, but it's the truth. We gotta report the facts.
Thanks.
So what's coming up for you besides what does your baby do?
My baby is due December 10th.
Oh, okay.
And until December 10th, I'm doing a couple more things, and then I'll take
oh my God.
Some time off.
What are you going to be doing between there now and the 10th? That's fabulous.
Well, I'm doing, like I said, Charlie Brown.
Right.
I'm going to be resetting that. That'll be starting tomorrow, Monday. And after that, I'm going to do my mom's, you know, in my mom's theater, that Cinderella, Mark Robin's
okay.
Cinderella. And I'll just be setting the show. So that they know it before the baby's born, and then the baby will be born, and then we can go into, you know, we can fix it up after. I just want to make sure that I set the show before I feel like crap. You know, those are the two last things on my agenda as of now.
Are you going to take a break then?
I'm going to take a little bit of a break. I know for a fact that I'm choreographing Grease and Munster, and I'm directing and choreographing another Andrew Lloyd Webber show after that at Munster, which is probably the opposite of Dogs.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to say what it is.
I think we get it. Okay. That'll be fun.
And the rest of this season, Hello Dolly, I'll be choreographing Dolly and Scrooge.
Very good. So those
are the four. I know that I have that coming up after the baby, so I can take a little bit of time. But although if somebody offers me a job and I can do it, I'll do it.
You know, it's so great to hear somebody with your enthusiasm. It's obvious you love what you're doing.
I do. I do love it. You know, like you said, I do love being an actor, and I really miss being in the dressing room with all the girls and having fun and doing the show and the whole family environment. You know, I go back to the Marriott to see a show, and I walk in and I feel like, you know, sort of part of my life. You know, that was my life, you know, for so many years, just doing show after show after show. So I can't see myself never going back to it, but I have found another passion now with this, and I'm still with my friends in the theater and still working with them, but in a different way, and I just hope to contribute something positive to,
based on what you've done recently, you certainly have.
Thank you so much.
You should be proud of the work, and I think you're starting to get the recognition that you deserve.
Thank you so much.
And I'm sure the awards will start coming in. That's always fun. I know people don't do it for the awards, but it's nice
love
to get.
To have an award, but
oh yeah, it's nice to have the recognition.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. Someday, I'm patient, and you know, people have to get to know me. People have to get to know my work, and you know, I'm enjoying just having you come up to me in the lobby and say the nice things that you say is really what it's all about. You know.
Well.
Thank you.
That's good. Well, just keep up the good work, because I love the art form, and you love to see top people doing it.
Thank you.
So we've got Madam X at this theater at Chicago's Center for Performing Arts. I always get that name wrong.
I know. You know what? So do I.
Chicago Avenue and Green Street. That's a terrific show, and I'll have a review of it up in the next couple of days. And of course, you've got Joseph going on at Theater at the Center at Munster.
Yes.
And soon you will have your good man Charlie Brown going at Drury Lane Water Tower.
Yes.
I'm going to come see that on probably on that Saturday in another week or so, whenever the press day is.
Good.
Because, you and Roberta Ducek are a good pair.
Thank you.
And who's someone else? Who else is involved? You said there was a trio.
Yes, it's Roberta's music director,
yeah,
and choreographer, and Rachel Rockwell is the director.
Okay,
all three
Rachel
Rockwell. You know, all three of us have worked together in shows, for the past 10 years, and all of us have done done Showboat at different times, and we all sort of traveled in the same circle and did shows together, became close friends, and then Marriott hired us as a trio, and it was the most fun to do.
Well, it's like the new generation moving up.
It's fabulous. We had the best time, and we said, "Gosh, this is over now." Now we're doing it again. So
well, probably be more, because now you're going to get exposure in the city too.
Thank you.
Yeah, to add. Well, awesome. I'm looking forward to that, because, like I said, I've not seen the show, but when you see top people doing a show, you got to go see it. I mean, that's
one. Coming. You let me know when you're going to be there. And
oh yeah. Well, this has been great. I really appreciate it, and we don't give enough recognition to the immense creative talent of choreographers. Sometimes we take it for granted, and I wanted to make sure that I got you some recognition, because you certainly have the talent and you're involved in some great shows.
Thank you so much.
So
thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, not a problem. And folks, make sure you go see a play this week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this efflorescent episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. But before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Coriolanus, Act 5, Scene 6. He shall have a noble memory. Well, we can't thank you enough for listening to our little podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready to stick in your ears. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.